How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You know, this is a very legitimate and a very important series of questions in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10. The Bible says, how? How? Now, of course, it's legitimate because it's in the Word of God. And God never asks a question without reason, without purpose. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, the Lord's allowed us every year since we've been in evangelism to be able to go overseas. My first mission trip overseas was in 1993. In 1994, I was able to go over to Romania and preach the gospel there for the first time with Danny Whetstone. And man, that was an exciting time. What a great trip that was. The next opportunity that I got to go overseas was with Brother Alton Beale and Nathan Dietrich, and we went to Jamaica. And that was an exciting time. Seems like excitement follows me, or I follow it everywhere I go. But well, we always have a good time together when we're traveling and serving the Lord. And the first time that I was able to go to Italy was in 1997, 1998, when Amber and I had just gotten engaged, and her parents were at the time serving the Lord in an American military work over in Aviano, Italy, which is in the northeastern part of Italy. And in fact, the time that we were there, Frank Maeda was in Aviano, Italy, in the Marines at another church across town. And man, what an opportunity there is in the American military works around the world. Now, as far as I know, there are about 10 to 12 different American military works in Italy. And there's a great opportunity for even more. The Lord's allowed me to be in American military churches in Japan and in Hawaii and in other places around the world. I'll tell you, what a great opportunity that is to be able to go with the gospel to many of our men and women that are in the armed services. But this is our third trip to Grosseto, Italy, a town. The original town and core of the town was built in the 1400s, 1500s. Amazing, really amazing story behind the town. But what a great opportunity there is in Italy. And there are a lot of people in Italy that don't have the gospel. 60 million people in Italy. And as far as we can tell, there are 10 to 12 independent Baptist churches in Italy. Now, there are obviously other churches that preach the gospel. There are about 100 to 200 brethren churches in Italy that genuinely preach the gospel. And while we wouldn't line up with them on doctrine, we're for anybody that preaches the gospel. Amen?
Amen?
Amen on that. I'm for anybody. You know, I've been praying, Brother Davidson, that all the churches in Shelby that preach the gospel would reap a massive harvest this year.
Amen.
Because we certainly can't do it all by ourselves. And the whole point of us being here is that everybody that's lost would be saved. And anybody that's saved would preach the gospel. So I want every gospel preaching church that exists to be effective in reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But as far as what we believe, as far as true Bible doctrine, there are 12 independent Baptist churches. Wow, what a need. What a need. What an opportunity there is. And you know, one of the reasons why I go overseas every year is so that I can keep my own heart hot for God and keep my own heart hot for the thing that God's heart beats for, and that's missions and lost souls. One of the reasons that I go overseas is to keep my vision sharp, that I'm not doing this for no reason, traveling around the country and dragging my family every week in a different place and in a different time zone and with different people and preaching the gospel to sometimes people that aren't necessarily interested. I'm doing this for a reason. One of the reasons I go overseas is to keep before my mind and my own heart the lost world and the not only 60 million people in Italy, but the 7 billion people in this world that need the gospel. So here's a few pictures from Italy. If we're ready, we can go ahead and turn it on. Italy's a great place for a lot of reasons. Italy's a great place to enjoy cappuccino. If you've never had coffee, you just need to go to Italy. There's plenty of coffee over there and plenty of cappuccino. And just about as popular as pizza is, coffee bars are everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's coffee. And people go get coffee on a regular basis. It's a staple of the Italian way. And so it's a great place for cappuccino. Usually, cappuccino here is in a big cup. I mean, that's like small for here. There's about this much coffee and this much milk. In Italy, you can go buy for, maybe a dollar or so or less, a couple cups of coffee, and there's about that much coffee and that much milk. Or you can get espresso or macchiato. Italy's a great place to ride a bike. A lot of people ride bikes in Italy in town. Public transit, riding bikes here and there. Italy's a great place to get some mail. Here's a couple cool mailboxes. I always like to take pictures of the unusual. Italy's a great place to eat pizza. If you look closely on that second piece of pizza from the bottom, there's cut up hot dogs on there. So hey, if you have never had pizza with hot dogs, you need to try it, Italian style sometime. Italy's a great place to celebrate your birthday. I was turned 42 when I was in Italy. So Italy's a great place to serve the Lord, and we had opportunity to do that. We have an evangelistic service. This is the sixth year that Brother Frank has done this, and they have a Thursday through Sunday revival meeting, evangelistic meeting, really more or less, and then Sunday night ends in a Christmas concert, and really has been effective in the town. This year, after every meal, after every service, they have a meal, and that gives an opportunity for the people to fellowship and meet new visitors and meet people that are lost and talk to them about the gospel. And we had several saved this time, more than we've ever had being in Italy, and praise the Lord for that. Brother Maeda has another missionary that you all support, Larry Pieri, and I don't know if he's ever been here to the church, but my, what a tremendous example of a missionary he is. And he's been working a lot with migrants and a lot with refugees. There are a lot of refugees. I'll tell you about those in a moment. But the first night, he got 19 refugee visitors there. And so that takes a... By the way, this is just a bird that told you this, but this church ought to pray about buying that church a bus of some sort or a van where they could go pick up visitors. And you might contact them and see if that would be something they could use. It's a great place to enjoy beauty. Brother Frank Maeda has another associate, Paul Childers, that works with him, and the Lord's allowed him to have some horses out in the countryside and uses those for the Lord's work as well. It's a great place to learn a new language. I want to show you this slide. There's a bunch of different names in Italy. Georgia and Matilda and Luca and Carolina. So Carolina's over there. A lot of different names in Italy. It's a great place to eat different food. See the octopus down at the bottom? That's a great thing to eat when you're in Italy. Oh, okay, good. Does it have a point? Okay, good. Man, I'll tell you. It's a great place to try some new cakes out. A lot of Christmas cakes out in the grocery store and in the marketplace. It's a great place to be a blessing and encouragement to missionaries. By the way, I guarantee if somebody here would feel burdened to go to Italy and get over there, Brother Frank would be glad to have you, young or old. You know, that'd be a great place to go. Some of you young men should think about having a mission trip to Italy. Whenever we go, we always enjoy being able to give gifts to the missionary kids and their families. Some more cappuccino. It's a great place to be with your family and serve the Lord. This is the place where they rent. This is not their building. We might see a picture of their building here shortly, but this is a place where they rent. It's more or less a community center. And the first night we were there, there were people there before us. And so we had to wait till just the right time, and people there after us. But we rented it, and boy, it's a lot more spacious. It's a room, a building probably about the size of this building right here, this auditorium, and a little kitchen in the back. And Frank is doing a great job. Just really does a fantastic job. Of course, you know him, and he's been here many times. He's a good interpreter because he makes a bad preacher look good. And he does such a great job. There's a guy right up here, Giuliano. And just to show you, you know, the gospel seed is never sown. It is never sown in vain. Ever. Ever. This guy, Giuliano, I want to tell you his story. He lived up in a town called Tati. And the first time I was there in Grosseto in 2010, Frank's mom, Gaetana, many of you know her, Rita. She said, Frank, we got to go up there to Tati. There are some people up there that need the gospel. And I'll tell you, she was not there this year. She's in heaven. And we really miss Rita. Just her energy and her love for the Lord, her desire to get people saved. So we went up there. Galliano owned a little coffee bar up there in Tati. I mean, a quaint little ancient town, literally hundreds of years old. And Galliano was there, and his wife, who is Moldovan or Romanian, she was saved. And she's one of the, not refugees, but immigrants. And she was working, and there are a lot of Moldovans that work some of the maybe lesser desirable jobs in Italy. And she was a housekeeper for a lady. And she would come. She'd heard from another Moldovan lady who spoke Romanian about this church. And so they started to come. Well, her husband, Galliano, was lost. And we went up there. You know, the first time I went to Italy, I said, oh, this is Italy. And I'm spending all this money to go over there. And they're probably only going to be one or two people saved. That was my attitude, I'm confessing to you. That's a terrible attitude for a preacher, isn't it? But that was my attitude. And I got over there the first time, and in a four-day meeting, there were eight people saved, and four of those eight people were over 50, and two of those four were in their 80s and devout Catholics.
Amen.
And so the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
Yes.
We're not working with inferior weapons. Yes. You know, sometimes we think like that. We shouldn't. We get wrong. You know, there's so many wrong ideas that prevent us from really giving the gospel to people. Idea like this. Well, nobody around here wants Jesus because they're all saved. Well, maybe. And if they are saved, that's good because they're not going to hell. And if they are saved and carnal, that's good because we know how they can fix that because we know about revival and the Spirit of God and the Word of God.
Amen.
You see? But to have an attitude, hey, nobody wants it. You know, those are attitudes like I had when I went to Italy. And, you know, Frank really challenged me because he said, you know, the gospel is not our problem. And Jesus never said the harvest was the problem. He said the laborers was the problem. Nothing wrong with the harvest. He said the harvest is white. He said it's plentiful. So we just need to tap into the Lord and His direction. Lord, lead me. Everybody around here in Cleveland County is saved. But lead me, somebody. I'm working on a guy right now named Victor in Boiling Springs. I've been working on him for 2.5 years. And last Saturday was the first time he ever let me give him the whole plan of salvation. So I'm still working on him. I'm not sure if he's saved. But 2.5 years ago, he was working in his job at a job here in town. And he reached down to pull a brass coil and his wrist snapped. He'd done this many times. And he was bitter when I first met him. Hateful, angry, didn't want to hear about God, cynical, black man. A lot of black men in Shelby have been sold a bill of goods and they're cynical. And they want the truth if somebody will tell them the truth. Now he has a rod that's fused from here to here. He has absolutely no movement in his wrist. He can do a little bit with his fingers. Workman comp's not paying anything. But he let me in. He let me give him the gospel. Wow.
Amen.
I'm fired up about that. So stay with it. So we went up to Tati, and we went up to Tati. We sat down with Giuliano's wife and the other Romanian or Moldovan lady that was there, and Galliano and Evelina. I always think of you, Mrs. Scoville, when I think about this older, just older lady named Evelina. And she, I don't even know if she's still living. Sweet. A devout Catholic.
Amen.
And I remember giving the gospel. Frank would interpret everything I would say. We were just sitting there in a little coffee bar. I would give the gospel. And they would listen. And I pulled no punches with the Catholics. Look, the only answer for a lie is the truth.
Amen.
And Catholicism is nothing but a lie. I say that not in any means disrespectful. I say that plainly. It is false. It is absolutely contradictory to the Word of God. And so she understood there was a difference between works and salvation, God's salvation. And I began to give the gospel, and Galliano understood. And I remember Frank giving the gospel, and he'd break away from my interpretation for a while, and he'd tell him. And then Nona, or Rita, as you know her, she would say, Frank, let me talk. And she would give the gospel. And finally, Evelina knew this was a point of decision. God brought us to Tati that day for this Bible study that we'd been there, and they'd been having a Bible study. God had opened the doors and gone ahead. And I never will forget Evelina. She looked at Galeano and she said, "What shall we do?" And Galeano said, "Well, that's each a decision that we have to make." And Galeano and Evelina got saved that day. Galeano's still going to church. That's 5 years later. Look at this lady right here. She's got her, maybe I'll show you a picture later. I'm not sure if I have one in this slide. Her name is Julieta. Dave Kahiawat, you know, he was here a few years ago. Dave Kahiawat went. Frank had me, and then he had Jake DeAndre, and then he had Dave Kahiawat. She got saved in 2012 under Dave Kahiawat. She's still going strong. Pray for Julieta. Julieta's husband is lost. She's burdened for him. And so many opportunities to preach the gospel. This is Paul Childers. Some of you may remember a few years ago when there was a van accident from Crown College and everybody in the van was killed. His brother was in that van. He's from a family up in West Virginia. And solid. Married a girl from Illinois. And good guy. He's got 7 kids and faithfully serving there and working in a mighty way. There's Jenny Maeda. Of course, she's from here in Shelby. And here's a young man named Diego. He got saved. Diego's been there, I think, ever since we've been there, in 2010. Now, Diego's 10, and Diego's from Peru, or his dad is from Peru. There's his dad on the left. And when you go overseas, many places, here in the center of North Carolina, it's not so much international, although you can find international flavor even in Shelby, North Carolina. Overseas, pretty much everywhere you set foot, it's international. It's international. Here's a Peruvian man who pretty much they're going to be going back. Diego just got saved, and in the next year, I think Diego's dad and his family, they're moving back to Peru. So just in the nick of time. So great opportunities to preach the gospel to a lot of people. This man is a Frenchman. Larry Pierre is on the right. He's one missionary that you all support. And he's a Frenchman from Cameroon. Wow. Such opportunity. He got saved. Now, I would preach in English a phrase, Frank would interpret, and Larry would interpret simultaneously sitting right next to this guy in French. Larry Pierre knows English, he knows French, he knows Italian, he knows Spanish, and he can get around in Arabic. Larry Pierre is just really a blessing, just a blessing. This man is a refugee. So they take these refugees and put them in camps or put them in villages. Here you have this quaint village named Batagnano, only about 30 minutes from Grosseto. And you walk through this village, and at Christmas time they put up nativity scenes all over. Beautiful, just beautiful, phenomenal. And they have this old school that's filled with Libyans and Cameroonians and Ghanaians and Nigerians, all in one place. Let me tell you how I get there. One of the refugees told us while we were there, he said, "We're fleeing Nigeria. You know, there's Boko Haram, the terrorist group in Nigeria." So they go through this rigorous journey to get from Nigeria to Libya. And the only reason they're going to Libya is because it's close to the Mediterranean. They get to Libya and basically turn themselves over to the worst of the worst criminals. Just wicked men that will do whatever they want with them. They will rob, they will steal, and do unspeakable things with these men. And then these men are there at their beck and call, and they're working some on the side to try to make money. One man, I don't think it was this man, but he said he worked for a whole year to save up $1,000 just to buy passage out of Africa and to some place of freedom. Italy, the coast of Italy, maybe. And the guy absconded with his money. No lawyer, no recourse. I think sometimes we think our suffering is the worst, and it's the only, and neither of those are true. So he works again to make another $1,000. And then on the appointed night, they go out. This is right now. This is not a long time ago in some far off distant land that we can hardly relate to. This is right now in 2015. He buys passage, and at the appointed night, late in the night, they go out while the tide is rising. They're standing knee-deep, waist-deep in water with a ship. This is completely illegal. A ship comes along that's barely seaworthy, and it'll get a whole bunch of these refugees from Africa, and they'll get on, Muslims, Christians, whatever, and they'll go across the Mediterranean Sea, a harrowing journey. And off the coast of Italy, there'll be some coast guard from Italy come pick them up and bring them to safety. Far away from their families. Men just like this one. Men who are fighting age. But here's the problem. We think of fighting for our country as a noble thing. There, and even some of the people from, I preached in a Moldovan church the last night I was there, and some of the people there are Ukrainian. And I asked them, what do you think about what's going on in the Ukraine between Russia and Vladimir Putin and Ukraine? He said, well, see, we have something unique in this country as far as our strong Christian heritage and a nation that has been worth fighting for and an idea that has been worth fighting for 200 years. And we've been willing to lay down our lives and spill our blood. I said, what do you think about it? He said, well, that was his response. He said, the men are fighting in the Ukraine against the Russians, but then when they get done fighting for whatever they were supposed to be fighting for, it's the same or worse than before. So there's nothing to fight for. And there's nothing for these men to fight for. Some, okay, maybe some of them are Muslims, and maybe some of them are terrorist cells, and I'll tell you something in just a moment that'll make you think. But I want you to get this worldwide picture. It's a whole lot bigger than right here. And that's why we've got to be right in our own hearts and have our hearts hot for God and make sure our light is burning brightly and make sure our church services are what they are ought to be and that we're doing our part each individually to make them what they ought to be and that we're going out and witnessing and preaching and praying for our missionaries. So they get there. He said a year ago, there were Muslims and Christians on the boat. And nobody thought of themselves as Muslim and Christian. They thought of Africans and were trying to get to a place where we're in dire danger and we're trying to get to a place of rescue. He said, now the Muslims are throwing the Christians overboard. On the trip from Libya to Italy. Think of that. Did I push a button that was wrong? There we go. So think of that. So there is great opportunity and great need. And some of you young people right now aren't thinking about serving God. You ought to think about serving God. Amen. That's all you ought to think about. And whether God wants you as a layman, as a faithful layman in a church, you ought to serve God. And if God wants you to preach, you ought to go preach. The pitiful little that's a part of our army right now is... We have God, and with God we're a majority, but we need laborers like we've never needed them before. Somebody could spend their entire life just preaching to the refugees in Italy, and most of them speak English. If they're from Libya, if they're from Ghana, if they're from Nigeria, they speak English. How shall they hear without a preacher? How should they believe? How would we expect them? How would we expect them to know? You can't have something here at Maranatha Baptist Church. You can't have something and not advertise and expect the whole world to come. They don't even know about it. You didn't advertise it. Didn't put it on the radio. Didn't put it in the newspaper. You shouldn't expect somebody to respond when they don't even know about it. And God has given us. That's amazing to me. That He would team with us. That He would partner with us. That He would even consider us. That after we've messed up so many times in His plan of giving the gospel, He wouldn't just set us aside and say, okay, I've tried it with you, I'm going to use the angels. But He continues to use people, human instruments. Amen. That ought to stir us to our core and say, I'll go. Some of you in this room right now are sitting around waiting for a call. You don't need a call. You've got 66 books. You've got thousands of verses. These are the kids. It's a great place to paint and get ready for a Christmas program. They're painting right here. That's one of the young girls in the church there. There's Rhoda Bucher. I think you might see a picture of her a little later. Rhoda, of course, has been here many times. This young man's name is William Sunday. Billy Sunday. I don't know how he got that name, but I think there must be some kind of story behind it. I said, I'm going to get a picture next to Billy Sunday. Here's opportunity. This is exciting to me. So this is Sunday morning. Sunday afternoon now. Remember we've had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? This guy right here, his name is Ray, and next to him is his wife, Sarah, and his daughter, Kim. He has another teenage boy. They live up in Pisa. Joey Tacon, who is a missionary from Huntsville, Alabama. Has she been here? Joey Tacon is another team of missionaries. All right, here's something to think about. I'll tell you this in a sec. But Ray is American. He's a American military. He retired, but he met Sarah while he's there. Here's Giuliano. There's a better picture of Giuliano right there. There's his wife, the Moldovan. So Ray is there, and Sarah is not interested in the gospel at all 6 months ago. She's a part of the Communist Party. By the way, when the refugees come to Italy, they have everything they need. Food, clothing. Even some have cell phones. And they can't work for a year or two. Now that, I'm not the sharpest crayon in the box, but that's not a good situation. They can't work for a year, so they're left to do whatever. So you can see socialism doesn't just affect people in America. She's a part of the Communist Party, which just recently has changed its name to the Democratic Party. Just thought I'd throw that in. But 6 months ago, she would not allow Joey Tacon to come into her home and give a Bible study to her husband. But she and her husband came. She raised her hand Sunday morning that she wanted to know about how to be saved. And at the meal, after we ate, she listened to me preach the gospel to her, Jenny translated, for an hour. You know, John Eitdefleisch said something. He's right over here in Charlotte. He said something to me after the last election. So there are some people, and some Christians, and some on Facebook and different places, that want to somehow make a difference or make a separation as Christians. We're just Christians. We can't get involved politically. We can't get involved socially. There's a Hebrew word for that. It's called baloney. Because ideas have consequences. And behind the idea of political movements, there are consequences. And here he is preaching in the ghetto of Charlotte. And he said this to me. He said, I believe that socialism and a welfare mentality is a wall to the gospel. And I believe he's exactly right. Because the gospel is all about grace. I don't deserve anything. What I deserve is judgment and hell. And the welfare mentality says, I deserve everything. Give it to me. And give it to me without cost. And nobody pays a cost. I just get it. Do you see? So you cannot divorce the two. You know, Bob Jones Sr. said, every bush is a burning bush for a Christian. Every ground is sacred ground. And so every idea is up for critique from the Bible. And weight. Can I weigh it in the scales of the Word of God? So ideas have consequences, but she listened to the gospel. She said, now I understand what I need to do. She's not saved. Sarah didn't get saved that day. So pray for Sarah that she'd get saved. This young man right here is Frank's cousin. Pray for him. His name is Daniel. And a brilliant young man. He was in chemical engineering school. His wife, his high school sweetheart, just up and left. Up and left, no reason. There was a lot of heartbreak when I was there. You know, we have heartbreak here. There's a lot of heartbreak in a lot of different places. But praise God, you know, for the opportunity just to minister to him. And pray for Daniel. Now he's going to school to make violins. And he's going to bring them here. So he's got a resiliency about him, but he's hurting. He's got a smile, but he's hurting deep in his heart. So pray for Daniel, that God will help. It's a great place to sing. On Monday after the meeting, we had a Singspiration. You know, as long as I'm alive, Singspirations won't die out. It's a great place to sing and serve the Lord. There the kids are. This is in Frank Childers' home. And, you know, I want to tell my boys this, and we do. We sing while we drive down the road. We sing in our house. I don't want us to just sing when we get up in front of people. I want singing to be just a part of our life. You know, it ought to be. We're saved. Singing ought to just be, we just ought to sing. You know what Al Smith said? He said, if a man can sing and he won't sing, he ought to be sent to sing until he will sing. I agree with that. That's good. Hey, it's a great place to eat gelato. Now, gelato is the same as ice cream, only a little different. Gelato is cream, or is milk-based. Our ice cream-based. And gelato is kept at a little bit of a lesser temperature than our ice cream is. But either way, ice cream or gelato, I'm game. This is in one of the pastry shops. This is called Sweet Kiss, and it's a good place to eat gelato. Hey, it's a great place to see sights and to go minister. This is Venice. That building behind that gondola is a building in Venice where Napoleon Bonaparte stayed when he first came to Venice. That's amazing history. Our history is actually just in its adolescence here in America compared to around the world. Beautiful. Venice is such a beautiful city and a needy place. Needy, needy place. It's a great place to feed the pigeons. This is in St. Mark's Square in Venice. And the pigeons are extremely friendly. Hey, if you ever go to Venice, I don't know if you can figure out how to do this, but the next time I go, I'm going to do it. We saw a picture, an old picture, in one of the cafes and pizzerias where someone had taken seed and they had put out on St. Mark's Square and spelled Coca-Cola. And all the pigeons came down and they were in the form of Coca-Cola. Next time I go to Venice, Brother Al, I'm going to put a bunch of seed down and spell Jesus Saves and get a picture. This is St. Mark's Square. That's looking out over into the what would be the Adriatic Sea. Now Venice has a decreasing population. Some say there's 60,000. There's a Jewish, I think it's called ghetto, but that's not right. There's a Jewish district, I'll say it that way. So there could be someone to go to Italy, learn Italian and Hebrew, and reach the Jews in Venice. I don't think there's anybody doing it. As far as I know, there's no church in Venice. What a needy time. What a needy city. There's a church in Mestre, which is the nearest train station to Venice, an independent Baptist church. But you know, this is very interesting. Of the 12 independent Baptist missionaries in Italy right now, there are roughly half that have been there for 30 years or more. And the other half have been there 10 years or less. Now, I don't know everything, but I'll tell you this. My hat goes off to those that have been there 30 years and more and by themselves and not a whole lot of help and not a whole lot of people coming to visit. And if they come to visit, it's just to sightsee and not really catch a burden. I made up my mind. I'm not going to go overseas without coming back to America and saying, now more than ever, we better be revived. And now more than ever, we better hit our knees. And now more than ever, we better believe God. And now more than ever, we better send missionaries. Brother Scoble knows. There was a generation that wasn't so long ago. My dad knows. In America, when we were saying, we rose up against the enemy. We said, they're coming into our schools. So we pulled out of the schools and we started Christian schools and we had colleges and we said, beg, borrow, or steal, but get your kids under Christian education. We're not going to sit them at the feet of idols. There's not that spirit right now in America. Not that spirit. It wasn't long ago when I first came to Ambassador to train for ministry. The mindset, not just from the pulpit, but all around was, go off and serve God. Get out and serve the Lord. Materialism has crept in. Love for things. I tell you this, I would sell everything I own and go to Italy tomorrow if God wanted me to. It feels to me so wrong that I can drive from here in any direction for 20 minutes and run into 30 independent Baptist churches. Amen. Easily. And I'm not begrudging that. I'm not saying that that's bad or somehow that's wrong. I'm glad that that's the case, and I'm glad that freedom has allowed that and that God has moved. But there seems something not right about this. that I can't even find 12 in a population of 60 million. 24 if you add the American military ones. Venice is a town that is a paradise lost that needs the Lord. It's a great place to eat pasta with wild pig and pasta with red sauce. There's the missionaries. Why? I'll tell you, I have the highest respect for these missionaries. There's Larry Peary and his second wife. She's a fine lady. Miriam is her name. She's custom fit for Larry, and I think Larry's custom fit for her. She grew up in French Canada, so she speaks French, and she speaks English, and she speaks Italian. She grew up in French Canada as an Italian. She was 8 years old, and the priests were always in her home because she was in a devout Catholic home, and they were always in her home because there was always good food. And when she was, I don't remember if it was 8 or 11, you'll forgive me, she asked the priest, "Can I have a Bible?" She said, I still remember his response. "No, no. That's not for you. That's only for us." When she was 43, a Christian lady who was in her 30s started having a Bible study and reaching out to her. And so she went to a ladies' Bible study and she saw these ladies with Bibles. She never looked inside a Bible. Then God used the testimony of that 30-some-year-old lady who would go home to be with Jesus prematurely to bring her to Christ. Now she's serving the Lord. And hey, she has, this is her third husband. First two husbands have passed away. She was in her later years. Can I say something to those that may not be teenagers anymore, or maybe you forgot completely what it was like to be a teenager? God doesn't want you in your fourth quarter of life to sit down and give up. You know what Don Sisch told me? He said, "I thought, you know, I retired from the mission board presidency of BIMI." He said, "I have been more fruitful in these years than all my life." This is the time to serve God. I hope you go out like Rita Maeda. She went out serving God all the way to the end, pressing across the finish line. And she was down in Florida. She'd been up in Maine. Her husband died in Maine, and she was plowing snow. And her plow got stuck in a snowdrift. She said, "I'm done with this. I can't handle this." So she sold everything, moved down to Florida. No snow down there. And she was a tour guide. And she'd never been to Italy. She takes a tour guide over to Italy, and they said, "Oh, we want holy water. Oh, we want you to bless our kids. Oh, get us a meeting with the Pope. Oh." And she said, "I wanted to run from that place. This was a pack of thieves and a den of foul spirits. I wanted to get out of there." She came back, and she said, "Lord, I want you to have my life. And I'm giving you all of it. I want to be used of you. I want my life to count." Shouldn't that be the prayer of every Christian? Right now. All the way to the end. Just burn it down all the way to the wick. Nothing left. And God, through a friend of hers at Crown College, heard Larry Peary walking across and talking in some foreign language, and God worked it all out. Now they're married. She's serving God. So I don't care where you're at. This is Larry Peary in the town of Bottignano and his wife Miriam. In Bottignano, they put up the little nativity scenes all over, big, little, intricate, detailed. Really amazing. Really amazing. This is Pisa. Pisa is another town. I'm not sure exactly if there's 90,000 in Pisa. Joey Tacon is going there, but he's only one for 90,000 people. One. That's like one for Cleveland County. One. Somebody needs to go to Pisa and help. It's a great town. Where we were there, we found this tower in Pisa that was leaning, and we thought maybe we could push it up a little bit. And a beautiful place it is. This is the actual building. Remember a few years ago, they put up a building. Or they bought, it's a storefront building, really a storefront. It has a balcony. It would be about halfway back, halfway maybe where Alton's sitting, and the balcony. That's one section. That's one storefront. And the other storefront is where my dad is sitting, back with a balcony they use for office space and a basement they use, and they have a kitchen. That was what they got. $160,000. Better investment than a parking lot, I might say. Beautiful, beautiful. This is a great opportunity to serve the Lord. This is their building. And this lady, her name is Verushta. And she is an English student of Paul Childers. That's her husband. It's the first time they've ever been in church. Paul's been working with her for at least 3 years. And so she needs the Lord. She needs the Lord. There's the Maeda family. So great. I want to say this. I didn't put a slide in here, but while I was there, I think the second week while I was there, there was a picture of the Pope everywhere on the news, on the newspaper, and he was going into some doors. Now, the Pope, according to the Catholic religion, can call a year of Jubilee whenever he wants to. Now, the year of Jubilee is 50 years in the Bible, 50 years. But it doesn't matter whether it was 50 years since the last Jubilee or not. He can call it whenever he wants to. It's been 7 years since the last Jubilee. So this means that he's going to call all the followers of the Catholic faith back to Rome, and there are some doors that you can go through, and he's the first one to go through. And everybody that walks through those doors is forgiven of their sins. But this year, the Pope has done something quite convenient. He's made it so that you don't have to come all the way back to Rome. In fact, he and the Catholic Church have built doors in every country. Just a door. It doesn't have to be a building. It's just a door frame. If you walk through that door, you'll be forgiven. But we know that Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture." Whew. I want to say this, and I'm through. In the 1940s, Italy and all of Europe was dominated by the Nazi regime. And when we went to Florence, we went to a cemetery that is kept by the American military and the American government. And it's a cemetery that is really akin to Normandy. Beautiful cemetery. And many, many crosses, a beautiful memorial. And we went in, not only at Normandy, up by France, but we came in the southern part of Italy, and then we came in by Rome, and then we came in by Florence. And we had huge battles there to liberate the Italian people from the wicked leader Mussolini. And we did. And it was years before, months and years before we completely vanquished the Nazi regime and drove them back and conquered them. But you know, there's a great need right now for another army to go into Italy and preach the gospel and to rescue them from a leader that's far worse than Mussolini and from a fate that's far worse than being run by a Nazi regime. And I'm praying that God will call some people here to go to Italy to preach the gospel and to weather the storm and to go endure hardship for Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for this church and thank you for the investment they've already made in Larry Pieri and Frank Maeda and the Italian people. And now, Lord, I just pray that you will work in an unusual and a mighty way. Call people from this church to go to Italy and preach the gospel. I pray that some young man here today would consider that you may want them in full-time service in Italy preaching the gospel. And the Lord, it's not going to be easy. There'll be hardships. There's going to be training that will be had and deputation to raise support. And there'll be distractions and there'll be difficulties and there'll be hardships. But Lord, it'll be so worth it. It'll be so worth it. And somebody on the Golden Shore will be able to say thank you. Thank you for surrendering on that day right after Christmas 2015 to go to the mission field. Thank you. Lord, I thank you for coming to this earth. Bless our service in Jesus' name. Amen.